Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my loves. This week's guest is Ariel Ganja. So Ariel has been in the Nevada brothel system as a full-time sex worker since 2019 and has experienced firsthand the benefits of legal sex work. Jeremy and I spoke with Ariel about her work schedule, which is 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off, very similar to going out west here in Canada, and how the whole process works for both the clients and the women who work at the Chicken Ranch. Just a short drive away from Las Vegas. Did you know that sex work is only legal in certain counties of Nevada? And that doesn't include Las Vegas, by the way. Anyway, you can follow Ariel on Instagram at @ArielGanja_ and on Twitter at @ArielGanja. She can also be found on OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/ArielGanja, and via her personal website, ArielGanja.com.
Well, this is going to be a treat. We're sitting down with Ariel Ganja, who is a courtesan. Is that how you pronounce it? Courtesan?
I think so.
I do love that word, courtesan. Courtesan at the Chicken Ranch Bordello down in Nevada. And I think this is our first time speaking to someone who does work straight up at a ranch. And what's fascinating about this is that this is... work that's taking place at a ranch in the U.S. where prostitution is legal in the state of Nevada in certain places, from what I've come to understand. I don't know much about this, but we're going to dive into it headfirst with Ariel. But before we do, Ariel, I'll hand the mic over to you. Please introduce yourself to our listeners. Give us a little bit of insight into who Ariel Ganja is and the work that you do.
Okay. Well, first, I just want to say thank you guys for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be on here. I I'm sorry. Is this live? This isn't live.
You can no, it's not. Right. Yes, Rika, it's not live. You take your
I'm
sweet
sorry.
Old...
I'm like, all of a sudden, I just like lost my...
Personally...
I'm like, what am I? Who am I again?
Personally...
It's a tough question.
Are
you?
It's always Jeremy's first question. And every time we do this, every time we start a new episode, and you're like, allow yourself to introduce yourself. I'm like, well... Maybe we should do that part.
Well,
maybe we should take onus for
maybe you're right about
having
that.
Something prepared.
You're right about that, but I do think there's something always very interesting about asking someone
who are you?
Yeah,
who do you think you are?
And it's always fascinating to hear the response. So I stand by my first question, which is, who is Ariel Gonta? Who are you?
Well, I'm a courtesan at the Chicken Ranch Brothel in Corrupt, Nevada. It is located just an hour outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, where prostitution is legal there. A lot of people think that prostitution is legal in the entire state of Nevada, and it is not. It's only legal in 10 of the 17 counties since the early 1970s. Mm. So it is not legal in Las Vegas, which is in Clark County, and it is not legal in Reno, which is in Washoe County.
Mm. Kind of a big point to make, because I think, you know, for a lot of people, when it comes to like visiting the state of Nevada, I would say Las Vegas probably is like the number one like hotspot for tourism. Tons of people heading down to Las Vegas, and with the notion that I'm sure a lot of people or some people are aware that prostitution is legal in Nevada, it should be very well known that it's not technically legal in all of the counties of Nevada. But it is kind of fascinating to me that it is legal in the state of Nevada. Do you know if Nevada is the only state in the United States that has areas that allows prostitution as like a legal job?
Yes, in the United States, Nevada is the only state that has legal prostitution. And it has to be in a brothel, too. It can't just be in that county and out of your house or anything. Like, you have to work in a brothel. You have to pass a background check, get a sheriff's card. They run your fingerprints. You have to pass STD checks. You have to get business license and stuff like that.
So. What is a sheriff's card?
So a sheriff's card is just, it's a card that has a picture of you and it says the name of the brothel that you work at, and they have to keep it at the front office, up front in every office of all the girls that are working there. In order to get that, we have to first pass the STD test. So when we go in the first day, we have a doctor that comes in at noon and they do a blood and vaginal swab STD test on us. And then we get the results back the next day. They send the results to the sheriff's office and then they run our background, check, take our fingerprints, and then they print off the card right then. And then as soon as we get back to the house, we can work.
Okay. May I ask, what kind of things on a background check would be like, can you not have any criminal record, or like what kind of things are they wanting to, I guess, can you not have a criminal record to work at a ranch?
So what they're looking for is to make sure that you don't have any warrants, any criminal warrants. They're looking for criminal activity. Okay. As far as a traffic ticket, they don't really care too much about that, but they just want to make sure that you're not involved in any crimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's on day one. And I think what we were reading in the notes is that most girls who work there will come in for like 2 week stints at a time. So you're not there full time. It's not like a 9-to-5 situation. It's like 2 weeks on, 24 hours a day from what I was reading in your notes. Can you tell us a little bit more about, like, once you get cleared from the criminal check and the STD check, what does the next 2 weeks look like?
So whenever we come back to the house, we're not allowed to leave, actually. So we live in the rooms that we work out of. We have cooks that cook for us twice a day. They cook for us from 11:30 to 12:30 and 4:30 to 5:30. And we have lineups during the day randomly. You never really know what's going to happen. There's really no set schedule unless somebody calls and makes an appointment with you. But at any time, somebody can just walk in, request a lineup, or they might want something that's called a barler or a tour. So what a lineup is when a customer comes in, they can request a lineup, and the shift manager will ring a bell and set a timer. We have 3 minutes to get to the lineup area. Once the timer goes off, we go out and we introduce ourselves one at a time. And so I would go out and say, hi, my name's Ariel. And then we all stand in a line and we're not allowed to talk back or say anything because it's considered dirty hustling to take the light off of another lady. So if he says, oh, what's your name? Like, we can't talk, and the shift manager has to speak for us and say, oh, she can't talk. And then at the end, he picks the lady that he would like to go with. The lady takes the client back to her room, and that's then when they negotiate about time and activity of what they want to do with their party.
Wow, interesting. I mean, it's like it. Like when I read that stuff, I was kind of like, I was sort of like, oh my god, this is so. It's so foreign to me, and then but B, there's something also so familiar about what you just said, which is that like it's like just like the movies. Like that was the thing that came to my mind. I was like, God, it's just like the movies, you know, like when you picture, like, you know, when you picture a brothel and the way that it works, that's the kind of thing that I've always seen.
The lineup
in movies.
Is classic.
The lineup thing, yeah. Which is so fascinating that's actually how it works. Because I think I would have always assumed like, oh, that's just like Hollywood sort of depictions of, like, it doesn't really work that way, but it does, which is so fucking cool and interesting, right? One of the things that kind of popped up there for me that I'm kind of curious about is, it's interesting, like, here in Canada, there's a lot of folks that, especially, oh God, I don't know, like, when I was just graduating high school, you know, you had, like, there was like two things that everyone would decide to do. You would either go to university and study, and then, you know, hopefully that would transition into a well-paid job that you would hopefully pay off your student debt and, you know, whatever, like white picket fence, get a family, yada, yada, whatever. But then the other option for a lot of folks, especially like for where we're from, the East Coast of Canada, a lot of folks would decide, okay, I'm actually going to go make a fuckload of money by going out to work in the oil fields, or like go out to this place called Fort Mac in Alberta.
Fort Mac was specific to our generation,
yes.
But generations of East Coast Canadians have been going out west,
whether
that
be
big money.
Yeah. You know? Whether that be like working in the mines or whatever. But for our generation, it was Fort Mac, the oil fields. And for people who would, you know, I had a number of buddies that decided to do this, and when they would do this, they would go out to Fort Mac.
That's
and they
right.
would they would live there for 2 weeks on end, and they would be in this like camp essentially, and they'd work their fucking asses off for 2 weeks straight, just like unbelievable amounts of work, and then they'd have 2 weeks where they would just come back home oftentimes, so, you know, fly out for 2 weeks, do their work, fly home for 2 weeks, and have like off time. And there's something very similar sounding to like the setup that you have going here with the ranch, the chicken ranch, where you go and you know, you live in this place for 2 weeks. And like, this is, you know, your whole life is just work for 2 weeks straight. So my question out of all that long winded mumbo jumbo is this notion of like not being able to leave the ranch, for 2 weeks. Was that something that came into play after COVID? Or is that the way that it's always been, where like you go there and you stay there for those 2 weeks? And if that's the case, why is it? Why is it like a 2 week stint where you like can't leave the house? Why is it kind of like locked into that place for 2 weeks, as opposed to, you know, going in for a couple of days, going out for a couple of days, come back in, Like, what's the purpose of the scheduled 2 weeks?
So every brothel is different in different counties. Some brothels will let you go home. Those are in different counties. Nye County is a lockdown county, which actually we just got that change in 2019 of December, right before COVID. But prior to that, like, we could not leave at all except for on Tuesdays to go to town day. They give us a town day where we can go to Pahrump, and we normally we'll go to the winery. We'll go, you know, have lunch together, stuff like that, just to get out of the house, to run some errands, go to Walmart, whatever. We've always been able to do that. Or like if we had to go to like a doctor's appointment, if you're a local girl, because we have girls that fly in from all over the country. We have girls that fly in from New York. We have girls that fly from Miami, Oklahoma, Texas, everywhere. So, and then the ones that are closer, we all drive instead of flying. So, because you can take a lot more stuff. You need a lot of stuff when you're there for 2 weeks. You can't leave.
No doubt.
And so, like, because when you're not there, that's somebody else's room. It's not like you can leave your stuff behind. Okay.
No, we're allowed 2 totes. So, I have like 2 ginormous totes that I have locked up. One of my totes, I have all my own pillows and bedding that I have to vacuum seal. I can fit some of my clothes in there, but because I have like 8 pillows. And I have to put them all in these bags. It kind of takes up all the space. And then my other tote, I have things like a humidifier because it's so dry in there. And you just wake up choking on air out here in Nevada. It's so dry. So, and I'm from a humid place. I'm from Missouri and it's very humid there. So living out here, I feel like a fish out of water. So I need my humidifier. And I have like a space heater, which sounds weird, but even in the summertime, you might need it because the air conditioning system is older. So sometimes it'll be too cold and you'll be freezing in the middle of the night.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah,
and just all kinds of just other random stuff that I need, room decor and stuff like that. Right. And then I have suitcases that I bring in, all that kind of stuff. But like now, if we want to leave, like, say, for example, I had this happen one time, and this is during lockdown, so I was so frustrated, and it was like town day. I had 1 razor left, and he used my razor. I was like, oh my God, I can't even go get a razor from town now. So like, if that happens now, I can, you know, tell the madam, and she'll be like, okay, yeah, go, you can go do that, or, you know, if you need an energy drink from across the street or something, okay, yeah, run and do that, just, you know, let them know and make sure to get it approved first and do that.
And so the whole point of this like 2 weeks sort of lockdown thing, it sounds like it's sort of part of like the regulation or part of the deal that allowed like that. So where Nevada steps in as a state and says, if you're going to operate your business, then here are the stipulations that it needs to be operated under, like the sheriff's card and the, you know, the routine testing, like the things, those things make sense to me. The 2 week sort of like isolated lockdown period where you're like, you're at work for the 2 weeks. It that also seems like a little bit of an agreement between like the brothel itself and the state. Like, is that sort of how it, like, or it's just strictly like, that's just how the brothel decides to
operate. That's how the brothel runs it. All brothels do, different contracts with their ladies. They all require different things. So even though they did change the law, and actually the law that was removed in order for us to be able to leave is if you leave the house for 24 hours, you would have to get retested. So that's why they did all that, which now you don't have to. So now that I'm local, say like, if I wanted to, I could go, because we're tested by talent testing, who test for all the porn stars, and we have a lot of girls who do porn also. So if they want to do the porn panel testing, they can do that whenever they're at the brothel, so they don't have to pay for it twice, because it's pretty expensive for the whole porn panel. I'm not sure how much it is. I don't do the porn side of it.
The other thing that I'm really curious about is like the like the client and what happens with the client. And you kind of, you walked us through the notion of the lineup, which is so fascinating. But the, like the negotiation part, I also find really interesting. So, you know, I know that like all the prices between client and courtesan are negotiable. What do those negotiations sound like typically? You know, you have a client who enters, he didn't book ahead of time. He comes in or they come in and they request a lineup. So, you know, bell goes off. You got 3 minutes. Everybody rushes to the...
And when we say, let's like really paint this picture. How many people are in the lineup? Like 12, 14, 15?
It depends on how big the house is. We have 14 rooms in the house. They're focusing on keeping it a larger house, so we have a lot more options. But we also use one of our bungalow rooms as kind of like an overflow room, or, you know, where another lady can stay. So we can have 15 girls in the house at a time.
Okay.
Or all at the lineup at a time.
So the bell rings and girls flock.
15
from
women.
15 women who could be doing anything from working out in full hair and makeup because you have to be ready to go in 3 minutes, or eating dinner, or maybe
middle
even
of the
sleeping.
Night, fucking sleeping. Yeah, it's like someone comes in at, you know, 1 a.m. I guess you got to like wake up and be there.
So, there's a few things about that on the waking up in the middle of the night. So if you miss a lineup or a request or a barler, you get fined 50, or if you miss three of them, you get fined $50. But if you know you want to sleep or you don't want to wake up and you don't want to miss those lineups and get fined, you can request to be taken off the floor. Or if you're sick or you're not feeling well, or, you know, you're just overexhausted because you've been working yourself crazy, they'll allow you to take yourself off the floor if you choose to.
Okay. Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay. So client comes in, 14, 15 women line up, and the client says, all right, I think Ariel is the woman that I want to make my dreams come true today. And he chooses you, or they choose you, and you go off to your room. What does negotiation look like? How does the conversation work? Like if I was prepping myself to come down to the ranch, you know, later this year, what can I expect when it comes to the negotiation talk between myself, the client, and you, the courtesan?
So everybody does their business differently. How I do it personally, if you were to pick me out of a lineup, I would say, hi, I'm Ariel. And I would come up and walk up to him and say, what's your name? And he would tell me his name. And I would shake his hand and say, come with me. And we would go down to my room. And, you know, I just ask him, have you ever been to the chicken ranch before? Have you ever been to a brothel before? You know, kind of, what do you do? Just to kind of get to know him a little bit before kind of jumping right into things. Because some people are really nervous and they want to talk for a minute.
Totally.
Some people want to just, how much is it? What is it? Like, you know, where's your menu? What's this? You know, some people are really like that. And then some people want to talk more. It's a business that is always changing because of our clientele. Everybody's different and they all want different things.
Yeah. And so how do you like line, you know, okay. So my first time, I've never been to a brothel, right? And I'm definitely nervous for sure. There's no way that I'm like coming in there just like confident as shit, knowing what I want. I wouldn't even know where to start. You know, it's like, I feel like it's one of those things where you're at a restaurant and the menu just has 1,000 fucking options and you're like,
Christ. Or it's in a different language.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. That's even better. A restaurant with way too many options and a different language.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what the fuck do I even like? What do I even ask for? How do I know what to ask for?
Yeah.
Is there like a hard copy menu of like, here are all the list of the things that Ariel can and will do, and here's the hard no's, or like is that all just through conversation between the two of us?
So everybody does it differently. I actually need to get my menu. I'm bad at that. That always gets on me. Like, where's your menu, Ariel? I like to just talk, because our prices are higher, and sometimes whenever they see the prices that we have on there, they get scared. So I don't want to scare them, but sometimes they'll just pick up your menu and be like, oh, I want that price. But the prices are negotiated by time and activity. So there's all different kinds of parties that you can do. Sometimes people come in, they might just want a hand job party or a blow job party, half and half. You can do straight lay. There's BDSM parties, you can do fetish parties, role play parties. Some girls cater to couples, some girls cater to other girls.
Mm. And what for yourself, like you and your work, what are the options or like the parties that are A, most common requested, but then B, what are the ones that are like the most profitable for you?
The ones that are most commonly requested are half and half for an hour.
What's half and half?
Half and half is sex and oral.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, it doesn't mean like half oral for half the time and half sex for half the time. It just means kind of both.
A mix of both. Terms.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So and then a straight lay would be, you know, just sex without oral. Mm. So typically I'm dealing with people in my prices, that includes both oral and sex.
I would imagine it would be hard to, well, maybe not, but I was just thinking like to have a hard line between like, okay, this will not include oral seems like at some point you might be like, God, I wish I could just do some oral here because that would really break things up for me a little bit. You know what I mean? Like it seems like it would be, you'd have to pay me a lot more for a straight lay, is what I'm saying, than a half and half.
Sure.
Because it seems like a lot more work.
Yeah, right. I'm assuming that this is like something that happens or maybe is common, but like, do you have clients that come in and they request one thing at the top, but then like, you know, halfway through the session, they're like, this is far more exciting than I was anticipating it to be. And like mid session kind of requesting, okay, can we actually add
a side of hand job?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we get some, like, can we get some side dishes going here?
Yeah, definitely. When you're in the party, you know, if you're in the party and you negotiate something, or say for example, you're in the party and it's our party, and after we book the party, there's a timer set. So when the timer goes off, the time is up. So if the client wants to extend, he's like, oh, I'm having so much fun, I just want to stay, or I want to stay all night, you can stay all weekend, you can stay as long as you want.
Right, right.
So
Would that be, if a client decided that they were going to stay all weekend, are they committing to you for the weekend, or they're like, I'm just not leaving this building, and like, can they do different parties? They can just like bounce around a little bit in there.
So typically how it works, it's, we don't have really rooms for the clients. So he would have to, I mean, if he wanted to do something like that, I'm sure he could go to the bungalows. We have bungalow areas in the back that are bigger, nicer rooms. They're private. They have jacuzzi tubs in them. They're really nice. And just, he would have to negotiate with each girl separately and make different transactions each time.
That makes sense.
What is the what's the role of the madam? That's also like again, like one of those things where it, like, my understanding of it is just like
purely from Western, old Western movies.
Yeah, like just like the movies. And so, like, you know, is there a singular madam that sort of runs the whole house? And what do they, like, what does their role for the house, and how does their role interact with you and what you do?
So, yes, we do have a madam. She's also technically the general manager. Her name is Trudy. She's awesome. She runs the entire house. She interviews and hires the courtesans and the staff. She maintains schedules for the courtesans' tours. She mentors and suggests how to better help our businesses. She provides diverse lineups for clients. She maintains the staff in the ranch. You know, anytime there's a problem, everyone goes to her, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
She runs everything. She's the one. So at the end of the week, we have a our pay period ends on Saturday. So then the next day on Sundays, we go into our office and we go over our receipts. So every time we book a party, they give us a receipt for our transaction. That way we can track our, you know, how much we're making and stuff like that. And then we go over that every Sunday in her office. And then that's when, you know, she would help mentor girls if they needed help or had any questions or anything like that. And she's always available anytime. She's there most of the time. So.
How long has Trudy been doing this?
She has been working there. I think she's been there for 6 years now.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
And so does she also work as a courtesan, or does she make a cut kind of the house?
No, she's paid by the owner.
Okay.
Yeah. So
she has her own salary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So in terms of the like the books, you know, and like, and making the money, how does that work? Like, you know, obviously I feel like it's probably similar to like tattoo parlors, right? Where like a tattoo artist is in there, they're doing their work. They get paid by the hour from like the client. And then, but then like at the end of the week, they, you know, the tattoo shop takes a cut of what their sales were. Is that similar to how it works in a brothel? Like, do you make a certain amount and then, but then there's like a percentage that gets kicked back to the house?
Yes. The house takes half of the entire booking. And then on top of that, they charge us daily room and board. You know, and then we have to pay for our weekly STD test, which they can take all of that stuff out of our check, whenever we come in. So those can be like deductions that are on there, or if we want to drink or something like that, at the bar, they can take that out of our check too, or we can bring in cash, cause we're not allowed to have cash in our rooms at all.
Yeah.
The first thing we have to do when we get there, we have to turn in our cash to them, and they take it and they log it into our accounts, which is our petty cash. So if we have our petty cash and we want to get a drink from the bar, they just deduct it from that. And then whenever we leave, they give us back our cash. But or if we want to order like something to go or Instacart or anything like that, we still have access to our money, but we can't actually physically touch it. Like, they'll put it in an envelope for us and give it to the delivery person, because that prevents the girls from stealing from the house, is how they're looking at it, or stealing tips or anything like that, or even stealing from another girl. is if you can't have money in the first place. So that kind of solves that problem. So that's why they do that.
The first thing that came to mind when you said that was like, oh, it makes sense. Like, because you could also have clients that would potentially steal from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And
I've caught clients actually going through my stuff before.
Like for a souvenir? Yeah. Are they looking for cash or are they just looking for souvenirs?
Souvenir. We actually had it. This was so crazy. I had this happen back to back. And like literally like my appointment one night, I caught him going through my stuff. And then the next day, my next appointment was going through my stuff. I was like, what is going on? But the guy before, he said he didn't believe that we really stayed in the brothel. And he thought that all of the stuff in my room was a prop. And so I had like panties and stuff in there. So he thought it was just set up and that he could buy them and stuff like that. Like he didn't understand. I told him that I stayed there, but he really didn't understand. He was kind of drunk. So some of the guys are a little tipsy when they come in because they get really, really nervous.
Yeah.
Is
alcohol served on the premises?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what are like the policies with like drugs and alcohol? And when I say that, I'm including like cannabis, which is a drug, I guess. But like, can you have that? Can you consume that?
No. So that's okay. I wish we could. No, because it is not federally legal.
Because
of that, you can't have cannabis and alcohol at the same time. So they actually did change the law to where you can have smoke bars now in Nevada. So technically, if somebody wanted to, they could open up a cannabis brothel, but there would be no alcohol. You can't have both. Oh.
You can't have them together.
No, they're not going to get rid of the alcohol. So I'm not even going to ask. I already know.
That's an interesting business model.
That sounds like a very lucrative business model, actually.
Yeah, the weed brothel. Yeah.
If that opened up across the street, would you be like, well, I'm going to go work there now? Or are you pretty loyal? Like, do you feel pretty... You've been at the Chicken Ranch for 4 years, is that right?
For 3 years.
3 years, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, the... So, I mean, the 50-50 split, that's a big split. But I suppose it kind of makes sense. But in terms of like expenses over the span of the, you know, your time working there, one of the things that blew me away in prior to this conversation was going through some of the information that was sent our way and the expenses at the ranch plus the expenses outside the ranch. There's a lot that goes into doing the job that you do in terms of like the investment that you need to make in order to you know, just to show up to work. What are some of the the expenses that you have to consider when doing this work that, you know, maybe people wouldn't typically think of or really understand that like goes into it that you know is like kind of a big part?
Well, one thing is when you're working here at the brothel, we are all independent contractors. So we all have our own business licenses. You can get an LLC or you can just keep the independent contractor license if you want. So with that being said, you are responsible for all costs of everything in your business. Mm-hmm. So anything from, you know, clothes, your room decorations, like pillows in your room, condoms. Because condoms are mandatory. Dental dams. A lot of people don't know what dental dams are until they start working at a brothel. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what a dental dam was until I started working at a brothel. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what a dental dam is, it is a kind of like a plastic kind of square barrier that you hold over your vagina area. And that's what the client licks instead of directly onto the mm-hmm. vagina because... we're not allowed to do a fluid exchange. Mm-hmm. So everything is with a condom on. So even if I'm giving somebody a blowjob, they have to wear a condom. And photo shoots are so expensive. You have to find a good photographer. Finally, I finally found a good photographer and it's so hard to find a good photographer here in Vegas or somebody who's reliable. You have to do hair, nails,
yeah,
you know, all your makeup, everything.
Razors.
Razors, yes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the list is quite extensive. You know, you've got the blood work, the STD tests, the rent at the brothel itself. There's a quarterly legal sex worker license that's included. You know, monthly supplies that you would just need for, you know, living. And then outside of the ranch, I mean, those are the expenses that I was like, oh, right. Fuck. That's like, that's wild. You know, like your nails, your hair, you know, lip filler, Botox, gym membership, you know, tanning, photo shoots, clothing, lingerie, sex toys. My favorite is that there's a $4,000 annual for sex toys, which I was like, that's a fuckload of sex toys. But sex toys aren't cheap, so that kind of makes sense.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
So it actually kind of, that it might be a little bit more. I mean, sex toys are like $100 a toy, and then they don't last that long. So
that's right. Yeah.
Or more, $100, like at being, you know, like at a cheap point, more than that, really, you know.
Out of doing it for like the amount of time that you've been doing it, where do you stand with it right now? Like, is it because with the, you know, the like the sort of lockdown requirements for 2 weeks at a time, with the amount of expenses that go into ensuring that your business runs properly, it seems like a lot. Is it, do you find it after, you know, this amount of years going through it, do you find that the work is worth it? Is it something that you still like derive pleasure from?
Definitely. I love working there. If I did not, I would not still be working there for sure. You know, not only is it, you know, just about the money and stuff that I love, it's also, you know, I enjoy meeting new people, the client aspect of it, you know, you get to meet some really new, cool people that become regulars and come back every time they come back to Vegas, because most of our regulars are not local. We have a few that are local, but most people are tourists that come in. Mm. And then also the girls at the house. We're all very close because we do spend half of our lives together. A lot of our schedules are the same. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So we all become very close.
It sounds it sounds kind of like a fun living environment. I know we're kind of coming up to time here, but I'm wondering, especially with those lineups you mentioned, like it would be considered like a dirty hustle if you were to talk over or grab attention from another woman in lineup. Is there any, do you experience much, like how does like any sort of competitiveness or cattiness or any of that, any drama like get tolerated and stuff there?
We really don't have too much of problems like that with the girls. We're all, you know, we all understand that we are all here to make money together. You know, your money is going to be your money. Her money is going to be her money. You know, sometimes girls, you know, will be upset because it'll be a little slow or whatever, but we all stay in, you know, positive moods and typically don't dirty hustle. Everybody's really respectable there.
Mm. So. That's nice. It sounds like a kind of a nice work environment, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Brady, your dream has been to be a madam for years.
I used to, yeah. So, I mean, Jeremy and I both come from performance backgrounds, which it actually sounds so similar to a lot of the things that you're describing, right down from the energy investment mm-hmm. as well as like the financial investment to like being a contractor and running your own business and, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know. Hair and makeup and clothing is like we perform live and those can be our business expenses mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I like the idea of being living in a house with a bunch of people, preferably all women, because I just like that energy. And mm-hmm. I don't know, it sounds like a pretty decent workspace. Like
yeah, it does. Sound
and
like,
I'm also really like highly fun. Organized and fairly compassionate. So I feel like I could, I feel like I should, maybe we should have Trudy on the show.
And I'll see
if maybe she wants to take some time off. Yeah, maybe train me up in the ropes.
Maybe she goes on mat leave or something. You need someone to fill in for a bit, you know? well, Ariel, this has been really, really fascinating. And one of the things that we were talking about before the show started was, The Chicken Ranch Bordello is actually featured in an Orville Peck music video, and I'm like a massive Orville Peck fan. I think he's just so fucking cute and like so delightful. And so I highly suggest folks go check out that. But this has been really fun to be able to get some insight into something that that we've never really had an opportunity to like really dive into over the six years of doing the show. So so thank you for taking time out of your schedule to give us a little bit of a rundown on what it means to work at a brothel and the ins and outs of it. How can people find you if people are, you know, maybe curious about the work that you do, if they want to, you know, find themselves in Nevada, and want to come check out your work, or I know that you also are doing like work on OnlyFans and stuff like that. So how can people find you and sort of like stay up to date with what you're up to?
So you can follow me on Twitter is at Ariel Ganja. It's ArielGanja. My Instagram is at @ArielGanja_. My OnlyFans is OnlyFans.com/ArielGanja. You can email me if somebody is interested in talking about an appointment or anything. My email is ArielGanja@ChickenRanchBrothel.com. And my website is ArielGanja.com.
Wow.
Sweet.
That's great. We'll put those links in our show notes as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Ariel. This has been really fun.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you guys so much for having me on. It was so much fun.
All right. There we have it, folks. Hope you enjoyed that conversation that we just had. And thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the podcast further, you can do that by leaving a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can simply rate the podcast on the Spotify mobile app. And if you want to support the podcast even further than that, which you can.
Wow.
You can go to
so kind and thoughtful and so generous. Thoughtful,
so generous. Go to patreon.com/turnmeon. To become a patron and help us keep this podcast afloat.
Well, if you want to reach out to us, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com is always open for all of your messages. That's the best way to get in touch. If you have a question for us, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you have a recommendation for a guest on the show, or if you just want to send us a little love note, email, money transfer, all of that.
Sex toy.
You know, we're our email inbox is open to you.
That is it for this week. Until next week.
Why don't you go touch yourself?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.